Okay. So, all right. So, let me backtrack a little bit and start with a bit of context. So, in the Linux kernel, device mapper is provide a generic way to create virtual layers of block devices, and those block devices usually have the name dev DM0, dev DM1, and so on. And UDEV create symlinks, dev mapper target, where target is the DM target name. And they are used for a whole bunch of purposes, among which transport encryption of block devices using DM crypt module, and as well as integrity checking, both for read-only targets for the whole device, as well as pair sector integrated information. They're also used for the logical volume manager, LVM, and a whole bunch of other things. You can check DM setup or the this directory in the Linux kernel source tree. Here's an example of such virtual block device stack. So here we have two disks, SDA and SDB, on which we map dev mapper crypt PV0, dev mapper crypt PV1, which are encrypted devices, and they are used together as physical volumes for VG, my VG, and four logical volumes in that VG, LV1 to LV4. LV1 is mounted on root, LV2 on var, LV3 on home, and LV4 is used as swap device. So one thing that people sometimes forget about is that encryption for crypt targets is not done by CryptSetup itself, but instead by the kernel crypto API. And the source device that is SDN and SDB in the previous stack I showed can be either random noise, in that case we talk about a plain DM crypt device, or have a header with metadata. Metadata consists of the type of metadata, the cipher, encryption cipher, the key derivation function, the UID, and that's used for key management. And that's what CryptSetup does. It reads those header and performs key management. So the most common header is LUX, at least for Linux these days. And CryptSetup reads that, does perform key management, and uses libdevmapper to create the map devices, and then delegates all the crypto to the kernel. I should say that for non-volatile volumes, that is volumes other than swap and slash TMP, it's usually a good idea to use LUX rather than a plain DM crypt device, because that means, there is more infrastructure to prevent yourself from shooting yourself in the foot. So CryptSetup in Debian, so we are shipping a whole bunch of packages. I just listed a few here. So we have CryptSetup bin and a libchip CryptSetup for the upstream bits, respectively for the upstream binaries and the shell libraries. And for those two, we also ship UDEBs for integration in the Debian installer. And we also have gazillions of scripts that are spread across those two packages. And those scripts are used for I used to parse cryptab and turn the cryptab entry into CryptSetup open commands with substitutable arguments. We also ship scripts to use the output of a program as a passphrase, as well as initramfs boot scripts and hook scripts for unlocking at early boot stage. So these days, our scripts are spread across those two packages, as I said, since about a month or two. So CryptSetup is a transitional dummy package that depends on these two. It will remain so for another release cycle to ensure a smooth upgrade path. So but one thing that's quite important to mention, I think, is that we are upstream for these bits. That is, we. So our work is not only about packaging, but it's also, I mean, we need to do the QA and the maintenance and well, development of the scripts that we are shipping, and that some Debian derivatives are depending on. And since crypt setup, especially at unlocking at early boot stage, is a fairly low level, when things break, they break quite badly. And that makes people quite angry at us. So we need to be quite careful with the QA here. Okay, so here's a timeline of the project with a few selected highlights. So in 2004, the Linux kernel was released, Linux 2.6.4, with the first release containing the dmcrypt module. And shortly afterwards, the crypt setup landed into Debian. About 1 year later, Upstream released 1.0, just in time for Edge. We had the first Pathman crypto release, so it was possible to set up encrypted volume in the installer. Then skipping a lot of, like 7 years of, and a lot of development. In 2013, Upstream released 1.6, and the Lux default cipher mode switched from, I think, CBC to XDS, which I think most of you are using today. And skipping another 5 years, Upstream released 2.0 earlier this year, with a new Lux 2 on this format, which I might talk about if I have a little bit of time at the end, and a bunch of experimental features. And about 2 months ago, Jonas Meurer and I met for a packaging sprint, and we kind of refactored and rewrote the whole Debian bits. So we removed a lot of code duplication, did some triaging, and unfortunately also introduced some migrations. And in the future, hopefully before the freeze, Upstream will release 2.1 and Lux format will default to Lux 2. Okay, so now I will focus on unlocking at early boot stage, because that's what most our work is about. So we also provide script for unlocking at later stages, mostly for manual unlocking and sysvinit scripts. So for those of us who are using systemd, systemd comes with its own crypt tab parser and unlocking logic. So they are not using the crypt setup binaries at all. They are using libcrypt setup, but not the crypt setup binaries. And I should say, to give proper credits, I should say that all of this is joint work with Jonas Meurer and a bunch of other contributors. So along the years, we have added support for multiple use cases. So people wanted to have a custom block device stack, and they want to be able to unlock it, and it doesn't come out of the box, so they come up with their own workaround. And they are not always aware of our work, and we are bad at advertising or something. So this is why I want to talk about this today. But first, I have a plea, that is that you should never use our own InterMFS script as a baseline for your own scripts, because those are using our internal API and is therefore subject to change without notice. So if you want to use custom InterMFS integration, you need to stick to the document interface. Or if it's not powerful enough, then ask us to extend it. So when we had this sprint, we kind of rewrote the whole InterMFS integration, as I said, and that broke a lot of third-party scripts, unfortunately. I filed RCBug against them, the one I found at least, but I don't know, it's a bit unfortunate. It's not because it's a shell script that it's like a free access for copying. Okay. So one thing I want to talk about is remote unlocking using SSH. So since Lenny, the Dropbear SSH server has InitramFS integration, and today it lives in the Dropbear InitramFS package. That is, you can install Dropbear SSH into your initrd of your server, and then SSH into that initrd and unlock the your device there. So what happens is that the InitramFS boot scripts are blocking on the password prompt, but you can access to it remotely and dump your own passphrase in some as pass FIFO, and some magic happens, and you bypass that password prompt that's on the local console. There I should point out that the SSH host key are not encrypted in the initrd. So if you don't have encrypted boot, those are accessible by anyone that just pulls the hard drive, even if the machine is powered off. So don't use the same SSH host key for Dropbear and for the main system. Dropbear had InitramFS integration since quite many years, but there was no proper integration really with Crypt setup, and people came up with their own workaround for that. And one of the things that you find on the internet is tutorials that say, oh, you can just run this our own Crypt root InitramFS boot script and then kill it afterwards. They claim it seemed to work, but I argue that, well, first it's a local script, it's our own script, it's not to be meant, it's not supposed to be run in a non-InitramFS environment, and it's not supposed to be run multiple times in parallel, and it's also racy, so that's fairly bad. That can yield to lots of corner cases, like that might yield an unputable system. Another solution that people came up with, actually this used to be in Crypt setup documentation for quite a while, is to run cat and then dump the standard input into the askpass FIFO. So you run that from SSH, and so while it seems to work, the downside is that there is no passphrase prompt, so you don't know if you have multiple encrypted device, you don't know which one you're unlocking. And also it echoes passphrase to STD out, so it's it's okay if you are dumping something into it, like a file or something, but if you want to prompt, it's not so nice. And it's also racy because, well, if this is a FIFO, but if the FIFO does not exist yet, you are creating a regular file, and you end up with a unbootable system. So this is personally how I got involved with the Crypt setup packaging team, because I was maintaining Dropbear, I'm still maintaining it, and I wanted better integration with Crypt setup. So I wrote this script that's supposed to eliminate RAIDs, at least that's, I claim it does. If the standard input is not a terminal, it behaves like the one above, and if it is the terminal, it loops through each device that needs to be unlocked at InitramFS stage and prompts for those prompt for the passphrase and disable echo. So it does. It's like it behaves like an actual password prompt and not like cat. Okay. So if you're interested in unlocking at like remote unlocking, you might also be interested in the Clevis Tang infrastructure. So that's some infrastructure developed by Red Hat, and that does automatic unlocking without key escrows. There was a talk about this at FOSDEM last year, FOSDEM 2017, which you might want to look at. And it's already in Debian. It's maintained by Christoph Biddle, and it works with Raycat, but not with any InitramFS tools yet. There are no InitramFS tools scripts currently in that package, and there is a RFH to to add IntramFS tool support, but the proposed scripts are buggy and they violate our API. So I hope they won't land as in Debian. I gave some feedback about it, and I hope I've been heard, but I didn't hear any follow-up yet. It was just a few weeks ago, so no worries. Okay, so another thing we are shipping as part of the Debian packages are key scripts. So key scripts, as I said, is something like if you don't want a password prompt, but you want to run a program and use the output of that program as a key file, you can use key scripts. That's the interface that we provide for that. And we currently ship six of them. We have decrypt derive that derives the passphrase for an encryption key of another crypt device. We have decrypt GnuPG and decrypt SSL that add a symmetrically encrypted key file to the initRD, and then at early boot stage ask you to unlock that, to decrypt that that encrypted key file so that you can, and then dump the plain text of that key file into the, and use that as passphrase for the device. And then we have, this one is pretty nice, KeyCTL. It's used to cache passphrases using the kernel keying. So it's pretty useful if you have multiple devices that use the same passphrase. We also have OpenSC for smart card support. And PassDev, that is if you have your key file on a removable device, like a USB stick or something, you can store your key file there, and then you can use PassDev to unlock that. And something that's coming is, it's currently under review, will probably land in Debian in a few weeks. It's something for OpenPGP smart card. But if you're using KeyScript, the one thing I should mention is that KeyScript are not supported by systemd yet. And that's quite unfortunate, sadly. We really hope that it eventually will, and if the systemd maintainer hears us, then please do something about it. Like, it's so in the meantime, the workaround is to add the IntramFS option to the CryptApp entry to force unlocking at IntramFS stage and not later. That is, if you're using KeyScript for devices that needs to be unlocked at early boot stage, like a root device or resume device, say, then it's no problem. But if it's something, if you're using KeyScript for another of those, like if you're using KeyScript to unlock your home device, then this won't be unlocked at IntramFS stage by default, but it will be unlocked later in the boot process by PID1 of the main system. These days it's systemd. And if you're using KeyScript there, it will break. So the workaround, use IntramFS option in your CryptApp entries, and that will force the device to be unlocked at IntramFS stage. It's a bit ugly, but well, it works for now. On the other hand, if you switch IntramFS from IntramFS tools to, say, Draycut or something, then this workaround won't work anymore, just so you know. Another neat thing is, so when we talk about encrypted, fully encryption, we often hear that, we cannot have fully encryption, you need to have boot in the clear. It's actually not true with bootloaders that can unlock Lux volumes, such as grub2. And the idea here is that, you can use your bootloader to unlock the volume that's holding boot/boot. And unfortunately, since currently there is no, the kernel does not provide any interface to, and the bootloader doesn't provide an interface to pass the passphrase or, I don't know, the key from the bootloader to the kernel, you need slash boot and the other devices are still unlocked at IntramFS stage, so you only have your initRD there. But it's possible to unlock it again using a key file. And in that case, that key file needs to be present in the initRD. So what you do is you can set that variable. It's set to a glob. And if that, if the key file matches that pattern, then the key is copied to the initRD. On the other hand, if it's not if you are trying to unlock a device that's not a root, that's not holding slash, and that's not a resume device, then there is no need to do that. There is no need to set a key file pattern here. You can because the key file, the device will be unlocked after slash is mounted. And here, yeah, I should also mention that. Here I did key slot equal one. And the reason for that is that I find it easier to do key rotation with this because I don't need to have my own passphrase in dev.key. I can use, for instance, a binary passphrase, like a binary data, and use that as in a second key slot. And then I use so key slot a number from zero. I use that to unlock using the key file. But if I want to unlock manually, if I want to unlock using the prompt, then it will be key slot equals zero. And Grub doesn't support key slots, but since it tries the first one, it will try the key slot equals zero by default. Okay, and if you do that, be aware that the initramfs is by default world readable, so it prints a warning if it's if you have a key file pattern that's not empty, and if you don't have a restrictive umask. Yeah, you need to make your initramfs not world readable, and one way to do that is to set umask to some permissive value, to a restrictive value, sorry. So one of the recent changes is, so that's fairly new, that's from like 2 months ago or so, is that now we are using sysfs to discover block device stacks. So we are recursively traversing sys, dev, block, and so on to reliably discover encrypted devices. And concretely, what that means is that device mapper, so LVM, DMcrypt, and so on, and RAID stacks are now supported out of the box and in whichever order, whichever combination, and so on. So multiple device BTRFS or any FS exposing a directory under sysfs are supported out of the box. So that's not, unfortunately, ZFS does not expose a directory under sysfs. So ZFS is not supported. I mean, ZFS, auto discovery for ZFS is not supported out of the box. I don't know, they might add it hopefully at some point, we'll see. So this is pretty neat because that means our auto discovery code is now very short, and it's just like a simple recursive loop, and that means it's the we can traverse arbitrary complicated block device stacks. Like if you have something very weird, like a 3-device BTRFS for that you use for the root file system, and you have the first device is like RAID on top of 2 DMcrypt devices, and the second device is like LVM, where the PVs are onto DMcrypt devices, and the third device is the opposite, like DM on top of LVM. That's fairly weird block device stack, but we are supporting that out of the box now. Unfortunately, we broke the eye, and there is a bug open for that. The reason why we broke it is that in finish install.d stage, the update in initramfs. So it is at finish install.d stage, the initramfs image is rebuilt, but the sysfs and procfs are not mounted at that stage, no longer mounted into the target file system. So the initramfs that you get, I mean, it doesn't have, we cannot do the auto discovery, and you end up with an unbootable system. This bug is still open, but the DI maintainer should be aware of it. So you might have heard of this CVE 2016-44-84. So that was a CVE that was filed at the end of 2016 where, so the idea was that, well, if you keep entering, if you keep pressing the enter key at the Lux password prompt, eventually you will get to an HMFS debug shell. And I don't know, really, it got, I only mentioned it here because it got a lot, I mean, fair amount of media coverage. But we argue that it's not really that much of a problem because encrypted devices are not readable, they are still locked. And also that's not really a crypto problem because what the reason why you end up to IntramFS debug shell is because IntramFS tools will drop you to a debug shell if it cannot mount the root device after trying for a number of times. We had a mitigation in place for this. We decided to remove it because it caused more pain than good. So what we are doing instead is we sleep one after each unsuccessful unlocking attempt. And defeat local brute force attacks. But maybe the bootloader should pass panic equal sec to the boot argument list, and that will have the effect of rebooting instead of dropping to a debug shell. But I mean, so of course, like it's if you do that, but you can still edit your grab prompt or something, it's not really useful. So we will still need to secure the whole boot process. But well, it might still be useful. It might be worth to do when like secure boot becomes more common. Right now, we argue that it's not a real. I mean, they got a CV assigned, but it's not really a Kripsetup problem. That's our position on it. So about things that needs improving is a better QA. So what I said. When we did this refactoring work, we had we had two or three fairly bad regressions. And we are testing things, but we currently have like a semi-automatic test suite where we deploy pre-seeded seed VMs with a custom partitioning script that takes etc cryptab and etc fstab as input, but so it's semi-automatic. It's almost automatic because the VM is deployed in an unattended fashion. But we still need to enter the passphrase manually. So semi-automatic, and we'd love to have something more automated. So if you have some idea about how to do that, we would love to hear. We still have to test like 20 or 30. Of the like most common setups, and that's not something that scales. So one thing that we have been delaying for some time now, we are halfway through the freeze and halfway through the release cycle, and it would be really nice if KeyScript support would be added in systemd for Buster. I mean, that would. We have this has been an outstanding reaction for two releases now. So it broke a lot of setups. I think that most people have a workaround for in place now, but I don't know if we switch from IntramFS tools to some other initRD system that will break again. So I mean that's something that like that needs action. Another thing is internalization and accessibility, respectively, for people that don't speak English and people with visual impairment. Because at IntramFS stage, there is no GetText support and there is no beep. We have a bug open, like a wishlist bug open to have. To add GetText support into IntramFS. That's the first stage, and then we can start start to localize our password prompts. Another thing we're working on is the Lux Nuke feature. That's something where you can use a special passphrase to wipe all your key slots. So that's there is a patch in Kali Linux for that, and but it has not been merged into Upstream yet, and I think Upstream doesn't like that feature. But well, it can be useful in a situation where one is forced to unlock the disk, say, and the attacker has not done a backup of the header. Because of course, if the attacker has done a backup of the header, then it's game over. It doesn't help. Another feature is working on is Lux Suspend. It's something where we freeze the I/O on all active encrypted devices before suspending on RAM, and wipe the encryption keys from the memory. So, and when you resume, you land into a TMPFS chroot that contains the encrypted binaries, and you are prompted into for your password so that you can unlock the disk. So one thing I should mention about this feature is that it only protects data at rest, because, well, all your data that's in memory is still there. So if someone takes a mem dump, then they would have access to all your data that's in memory, but not your key because it's wiped. And usually, your GPG key or whatever, you can flush it before you suspend also. So this key material is protected, but the data the rest of the data that's in memory is not protected. All right. I should mention what's the state of this. So we got it to work, but it's not ready for adoption, because the kernel insists on syncing before suspension, and if you have outstanding I/O on the encrypted device, there is no way the kernel can sync, so it will just freeze forever, and then fail to suspend simply. So I have can just briefly talk about this new Undis format Lux2. It's as I said, the new Undis format. It's right now, if you want it, you need to format with type equal Lux2, but conversion is also possible. Although you don't benefit from all features from Lux2 if you are converting from Lux1. It has a new K derivation function, which is a memory hard KDF called Argon2. It's the winner of the password hashing competition. Another nice feature is to have backup headers. So if usually the header is at the beginning of the disk, but if the first sector is damaged, then you lose all your data, all your disk. So if you have a backup header, at least you can retrieve that. So that's a pretty nice feature. And another nice feature is to store the encryption key in a kernel keyring, so that they are not accessible by user space tool. And so Upstream gave a talk about Lux2 at FOSDEM this year. You might want to look at it. There are a few other nice features, but they are more experimental, and they definitely won't be present in Buster. One of them is authenticated encryption. So this is not something that's possible with XTS, for instance, or any kind of format that, like length-preserving encryption mode, because there is no way you can store the authentication data. But Upstream developed a new DM module called DM Integrity, and used that to store per-sector integrity information. And the reality thing is, so if you know a bit of crypto, you know that it's usually very bad to use the same IV to encrypt the same data using the same IV and the same key. And but if you are using like a length preserving mode such as XDS, there is no way you can have a random IV or have a sequence like change the IV. So the IV that's used in XDS is the sector number. But with this new DM integrity thing, you can use a random you can use a random IV instead also. So that's a pretty nice thing. And well, with that said, I think that's all I had to say. You can contact the team at this address. And if you want to contact me privately, you can contact me at this address. And that's it.
Hi. When I use Lux, I did not find there is any good way to pass to use a smart card. I use a way to pass a decrypted.
Which smart card are you talking about?
What?
Which smart card are you talking about?
I'm now using Gnook.
Yeah, that's OpenPGP then.
Yes. Right.
So we have wait a few weeks. It's being worked on right now. I don't have the bug number, but check on the BTS and you will see there is a bug number, like a bug number. It's a bug open for that, and just wait a bit, and it will be, it will definitely be in Buster, but not present.
How long will it take?
It will be in Buster. Wait a few weeks or subscribe to the bug and yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
I was curious why you chose to warn about an insecure UMask when there's a key embedded in the init RAMFS rather than changing the UMask.
The reason for that is, I thought about doing something like this, but the, let's see.
Because drop bare installs a net RAMFS tools configuration hook that does UMask.
Right, but drop bare is with drop bare you always want a secure UMask because you always have keys there.
Okay.
While there you usually the key file pattern thing is empty, so you don't have keys to store. And but I think it would be possible to implement a logic where you test and then you set the UMask, because after all, that's just source shell file, so that should work. But I guess that's probably a good way to do. I don't know. I don't remember if MK initramfs sources the hooks config also.
There's a separate set of hooks that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so that's it. We would need to add a new file then.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was another thing. Oh, just about the locale support in the NitRamFS. You might have missed it, but I actually said, can you resend this as a merge request, and then we can do a proper review.
I guess I missed it. Yes. Thanks. Okay.
Right.
First, thanks for all the work you've done. Encryption of our laptops is very important for security. And then, so you said that we may convert from Lux 1 to Lux 2.
Yes.
So Lux 2 is a feature only of Buster, right?
Yes.
All right. And then, first, how do I do it? And second question is, you said, mentioned that we lose features if we just convert. What feature do we miss?
So how do you do it? You check the crypt setup man page, and there is a new crypt setup convert --type equal lux2. Then you run that. You need to close your device first, but you can do it from the initramfs, for instance. So the only thing it touches is the header. It does not touch the rest of the data at all. So what you miss, you don't have a backup header. So you still have a single header at the beginning of the disk. Also, the encryption keys are not stored in the kernel keyring, I believe. So the kernel keyring is disabled by default. And the default KDF, so Lux1 is using, the KDF in Lux1 is hard-coded to PBKDF2. And that when you convert, you don't need to unlock your disk when you convert. So the KDF is preserved. But you can upgrade the KDF to Argon2. What you need to do is to add a new key slot and then remove the old key slot. But yeah, so it's if you want to upgrade to a new KDF, it's a two or three stages process. The thing also that you will miss is authenticated encryption and this random IV thing. But anyway, those are experimental right now and should not be used in production. And they definitely won't be ready by the time Buster is released.
A question concerning the Draycut initramfs generator that other distributions are using. If Debian would move in the long run also to Draycut, would it be an advantage for you or just not?
So right now I would really strongly object against it because of this key strip thing. So because people are using that. And they had been, so we have this regression, and we told them, okay, you can, the workaround is to unlock your device at initramfs stage. But if there is no workaround, then, that's fairly bad. And I don't know. But if that's fixed, I never tried Draycut myself, so I don't have an opinion. It's probably better building the dependency graph than the initramfs tools, just in the same way that systemd is better than sysvinit for that. I don't know. I never use that.
Come on.
It's 1 minute left.
So my question is, if Debian currently has much more features for crypt setups than Draycut, so that was...
I don't think that will... I think for crypt setup, I don't think it will gain feature. It might be equally good, but I don't think it will gain feature.
So for both initramfs tools as well as for Draycut, you can use Plymouth. As soon as you install it, it will work with key scripts. You don't need to use it to display, actually, the splash. That's basically it. And just repeating what Thomas said, sort of, as long as crypt setup only supports initramfs, then initramfs tools is the de facto initramfs generator. And I think we should have an option to change it.
But that's supported. You can use Draycut with crypt setup, I think. And I think that's it, I guess.